Welcome back. 417, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Friday the 13th in the nation's capital. Let's see if it was lucky for you today on Wall Street. Chris Versace is here. He writes the corner of Wall and Main column for the Washington Times. Today I see it's called From the Beige Book, A Murky Picture Emerges. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Andy, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. All right, I give up. You got to tell me about the Beige Book. Exactly what is the Beige Book?
Yeah, the Beige Book comes out about 8 times a year. It's published by the Federal Reserve, and normally we get all this gobbledygook numbers, stats, so on and so forth out of the Federal Reserve on a number of different things. But the Beige Book, again, comes out 8 times a year, mm-hmm. is more anecdotal evidence of what the 12 districts are seeing, and those are the 12 districts where the Federal Reserve has banks, so, you know, New York, Richmond, San Francisco, so on. So it's kind of a roll-up of what it sees.
All right, now, you get the results of, you know, this book, and what do you do with it?
Well, you know, we try to make heads or tails of it in the sense that it usually comes out before a Federal Reserve meeting. So, as always, we're trying to take a look at, you know, what's the Fed seeing? How does that square up with what they've said, with what the other data we're getting, you know, not only from the Federal Reserve on a month-to-month basis, but also from a number of other areas, be it official government statistics, you know, like the Bureau of Labor Statistics does with the employment report and wages and things like that, but other things, too, like this afternoon we got the Michigan Sentiment Index. So we're just really trying to see how it all fits into our investment mosaic, as well as what it means for the economy. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you know, the book that came out recently for April was very kind of alarming in some respects.
Uh-oh. What do you mean?
Well, there's really two things that kind of came out of that book. One is a number of districts that make up the 12 districts for the Beige Book. We're seeing a lot of increases in input prices. Now, not a big surprise because we've seen gas prices move, you know, more than 20% higher
right.
year to date.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is these companies cannot pass these price increases along. And for an investor, that's a signal that says company margins going to get under pressure. Not a good thing for earnings.
Yep. That's funny how that works, isn't it?
Well, hey, you know, when your cost goes up, there's only so much you can do. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the second thing is it really is kind of in line with what's been going on with the employment reports that we've been getting, which is more people dropping out, and I think we talked about that last week. But this report confirms that there is a disconnect between the skills that employers are looking for and the skills that are out there in the workforce. And it points to a structural unemployment problem that's going to be very difficult to fix near term.
Yeah. When we spoke last week, we were talking about the strong performance of the market in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And we had peaked at a little over 13,000 on the Dow, and it appeared to me as an outsider looking in, look, I got a 401k and I have some other investments, but, you know, I'm just kind of the average guy looking at it, and I'm thankful that it returned from the low point of 6,500. Don't get me wrong.
But I'm
wondering where it's going to kind of stagnate. And is that beginning to happen? Is that what I'm seeing? Because it's been bumping below 13 again this week?
Well, first things first, I would say that, generally speaking, it's a mistake to focus on the Dow. And I say that.
Okay, good.
I say that because the Dow Jones Industrial Average, it's 30 stocks. It's not very well representative of what's out there in terms of the overall market. And I would argue that the S&P 500 is a far, far better measure of what's going on.
Yeah, I've heard that in the past, but then again, like I say, I'm not on
the
inside.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
But just a couple things. One, you know, I don't get handicapped all the time or, you know, twisted around by what the Dow is doing or even what the S&P is doing to some extent. Yes, mm-hmm. we need to keep in mind where it is and where it's going, if it's pulling back, and how fast the earnings are growing for all the companies that make up that index. I tend to be more of an individual stock person, so I'm always looking for companies that have expanding margins, expanding earnings, have favorable trends in the industries that they serve. You know, so I'm looking at more, you know, 10 to 20 stocks that I think can actually outperform the index, be it the S&P 500 or the Dow Jones. But, you know, from an optics perspective, you know, falling below 13,000 like we have, I think that's going to get some people a little nervous. But if we look back since 1995 or so, the Dow has hit a number of new thresholds and broken through 5,000, 10,000, and 12,000 and the like. And in that perspective, it's just another number.
Mm-hmm. So don't panic and bail out of the market is what you're saying.
Well, always be mindful that after a huge run like we've had in the first quarter, the market's going to give some things back, you know, just in general. And to be fair, some of the data that we got this week, you know, overnight China slowing, the Michigan Sentiment Index, like I said, being a little slower than expected, you know, anecdotal evidence saying that prices are rising, you know, you have to be prepared to bob and weave a little bit, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The world economy definitely has an effect on ours, and we had touched briefly on Europe last week. Have you seen any changes over the past week or so?
Not so much regarding Europe, although I will say that the big news this week was that China slowed in the first quarter more than people expected.
Okay.
Overnight, they released their GDP figures for the first quarter, you know, and just to put some context around it, for the last 3 months of 2012, China grew at around 8.9% on an average annual rate. They did 8.1% in the first quarter of this year. And, you know, not only is that a big drop down, but most economists were expecting around 8.3% or so. So it was worse than expected.
Interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, China's the second largest economy on the planet.
Yeah.
And we already know that our domestic economy from the fourth quarter to the first quarter is going to slow. So to me, this just says, you know what, those forecasts out there that say we'll do around 2% for total GDP growth on a global basis in 2012 are looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm. You guys, you're expecting more corporate earnings next week?
Oh, my God. It's next week and the week after are the high point. And it's there's going to be not tens of companies, but hundreds of companies reporting their data, you know, how they did, you know, also adjusting their outlooks for what I think will be the impact of higher input costs. And it's going to be an interesting time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll bet. There'll be joy and there'll be panic, depending on what your outlook is.
Well, you know what? It's funny you say that, because there will be companies that do very well, no doubt. You know, and there'll be companies that take it on the chin. And what I suspect will happen is the overall market is going to be very choppy over the next 2-3 weeks.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, listen, thanks for your help today. People can get in touch with you through your website. Is that what I understand?
That's my understanding, too. And all they have to do is tickle the keyboard and go to chrisversace.com.
And that's V-E-R-S-A-C-E.
That is correct. Thanks, Andy.
All right. Great. See you next week. Chris Versace, corner of Wall and Main. That's the name of his column here in the Washington Times.